and welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from the year 2000 and before. And we're here with Gypsy.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Mackenzie.
Hi.
Lisa.
Hi.
Alex.
Hey.
And Jeanette.
Hi.
And today we're watching Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
And we're watching episode one,
series,
so series one, episode 18, Cry Wolf. So I picked Thunderbirds, but we've chosen Cry Wolf. Why did we pick Cry Wolf, Angus?
Well, the initial thought was the Cham Cham. That was the episode we were going to pick, but it mostly featured side characters. I suggested Cry Wolf to Justin because I felt like it represented the people as a whole, and it actually sums up kind of everything that's happening within the episode. So
hang on, last time when we were talking about this, you were gonna
episode.
He suggested Cham Cham.
Yeah, and we were like, what? And that was because it was a really bad episode, or
no, Cham Cham is quite a good episode. They're legitimately all good episodes. I can't think of any off the top of my head that I was particularly against.
Ah, spoiler alert for the rating system.
Yeah. I'll have to see how well this is aged, because I haven't seen it in 5 years, 6, 7 years or something like that. And even then, I rewatched it since, because I started watching this when I was like 7 or 8. I feel like this episode's just a better summarization of what Thunderbirds is, in a sense.
Sure.
This in Australia used to be on Channel 9.
At about 3 o'clock in the
about
morning.
About 3.
Yeah. So, I think it still is.
Yeah. There is, of course, a new series out now as well, isn't there?
They don't use puppets anymore, do they?
They use CGI.
That's terrible. We're watching the puppets one.
This one's a Super Marionation.
Oh.
Where they actually had electronics inside the puppets to open and close their eyes and things like that.
Oh, is that what the whole Super Marionation thing was about?
It wasn't all human. It was partially human and partially buttons that they would press to open and close their eyes or to move their mouths and things like that.
So I think in the recent Mandalorian series, it's all electronics. For the little Baby Yoda, it's very little CGI. It's all robotics.
So that's Super Marionation.
Well, it's like
2 minutes.
Yeah,
that's it. 2 minutes, and we're talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, 2 minutes. Drink.
It's the only other modern thing I've seen that still uses puppets.
See, growing up, the Super Marionation thing, because of the time period that I would watch Thunderbirds, I thought it had something to do with Nintendo, because when I was around that same area, Super Mario Brothers was like, you know.
Right.
Super Mario Brothers,
and
Super Smash Bros.
No, Super Mario.
And I thought it was kind of a pun on the, I didn't know which one came first, and then you realised the Thunderbirds came first, and I was like, maybe they named Super Mario after the Super Marionation.
I saw a YouTube video recently.
Same difference.
And that claims that it was a mockery of the landlord of Nintendo Studios at the time.
Yes. I heard it was a nice homage. Like, it was actually because he used to be really good to them and help them out. An awful mockery. It was it was like, oh, we need to make this guy, like, we can't do the face and fit in the mouth, so we'll put a moustache and hide the mouth.
Yeah.
And, oh, that looks like our landlord. Oh, we'll name him after the landlord. And, you know, it's because he's a good bloke. I might be wrong there.
It says that from what I saw in the video.
Okay, so Thunderbirds was filmed in 1964-67, but it was actually set in 2065, so 100 years, so they were basically placing it 100 years forward. And, of course, it was one of the Jerry and Sylvia Anderson series of... You don't recognise any of those?
Names are completely...
There were things like UFO...
Right, okay.
I'd heard of Jerry Anderson with the Thunderbirds. He's kind of synonymous with...
So they had all sorts of shows that they
classic
used 70s, Super Marionation 80s for.
Sci-fi.
As a Stingray, which was set underwater and had futuristic flight underwater vehicles, and Fireball XL5, where they had jets that would fly across the planet and things like that. But this is about international rescue and going out and saving people, and the Tracy family with their swivel swimming pool.
Slid sideways to reveal the rocket.
The rockets that flew up into the sky.
What did you call them in the Doctor Who episode? Captain Strongjaw? I think it's a family of Captain Strongjaws.
And the whole thing is a bit of equipment spaceship porn.
Yeah.
It features a lot of the sort of mechanics of everything moving about and things opening and closing. And
state of the art for its time.
State of the art. And it'd be interesting to see whether that has aged, because, I mean, say, for example, if you look at early episodes of Battlestar Galactica, the movie, it takes an exhausting amount of time for them to get into their starships and go through their buttons with their shiny lights and zoom out the front. And everybody's supposed to be overawed by that.
No, it's to fill time.
It's to fill time.
Well, of course, Wong Trousers Wallace has a Thunderbirds type setup to get into the...
Oh, yeah, into the dining table.
It's all of them. Lots of Thunderbirds references. So this episode is Cry Wolf, and it's about kids in Australia as the protagonists. So there you go. But what we're going to miss out on is Lady Penelope.
Oh, there's no Lady Penelope.
No Lady Penelope.
She was the best. Okay. Oh, no brains.
There might be a little bit of brains. The previous episode was all Penelope and brains, the Cham-Cham. And that was the problem. There was none of the rest of the Tracy family. I feel like this would be better representation.
Mm-hmm.
Featured the Tracy family.
I should probably ask, am I the only person who has not seen the show at all?
I don't know if Mackenzie has.
No, she hasn't.
And Alex, you haven't seen it?
I've not seen it either.
And of course, Mackenzie hasn't seen it. Mm. Have you seen any Thunderbirds at all, Mackenzie?
No, never even heard of it, have you?
No.
It's okay, you're not missing out on much.
Never even heard of it.
I saw half an episode once and I was like, okay.
Yeah, I know about it.
I don't even know why everyone knows about it.
Because we're all older than you, mate.
Yeah.
And we all used to watch it.
Yeah, the only bit of Thunderbirds I know is the parody by the D-Generation.
The
old sketches.
I remember that,
yeah. The old comedy sketches.
There's the Team America movie that's kind of like a riff off of
that. Yeah. That's the only time I've actually seen anything Supermarination related.
Okay, so I guess we'll get on and watch Thunderbirds.
Woo.
Cry Wolf.
Cultures are go!
Thunderbirds.
4, 3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
Okay, so that was Thunderbirds, Season 1, Episode 18. That was Cry Wolf, as about two kids that were playing International Rescue, called on the radio, had International Rescue respond, give them tea and biscuits and cake. Then their arch nemesis finds out and goes after them.
Little did he realise the kids lived at Pine Gap or something.
or something.
Area 51.
Area 51, Australia. And got rescued again by International Rescue. So, what did people think of that? Gypsy, this is your favourite show, isn't it?
That was ridiculous. The kids weren't even in the wrong.
Yeah.
Yay. Let's just start off with, the kids were not even in the wrong. The Thunderbirds had the audacity to say that they were, then kidnap them to teach them a lesson and then say, oh, there wasn't really a lesson to teach.
And then turned around and said, oh, well, they've done it again, so cue the violins. Well, you try to teach them a lesson and they don't even listen. Meanwhile, the kids are trapped down a mine shaft.
The main thing that I learnt from that was don't trust adults. They're idiots. And yep, that's true. Her taste in movies is terrible, Mackenzie. And even if you need an adult, they're not going to come to your rescue.
Yeah.
So you might as well just work out how to save yourself.
I think that was the original Cry Wolf.
No, Cry Wolf.
Storyline, actually.
No, Cry Wolf was a very lazy shepherd went out and looked after the sheep, but he didn't want to stay out there all day, so he cried wolf so that he could come back. And then one day a wolf actually came and ate the sheep. And the townsfolk were furious because they realised that he was lying. And so they never ended up, you know, coming out and helping him or something stupid like that. So that wasn't even the Cry Wolf storyline. That was just like, if the kids had done it multiple times.
Yeah.
The kids were in Australia on, like, rinky-ding walkie-talkies that their dad had made for them. They weren't to know that somehow it would get picked up by an international race.
Yeah. No, sorry, it was a cool episode because Thunderbirds were cool. Like, it was impressive.
Definitely impressive.
With the toys and stuff.
No, I completely agree with...
But the storyline was stupid.
I completely agree. All your points were well made. Like, watching that back, it was really blown out of proportion by International Rescue.
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous.
Yes, thank you, Mackenzie.
Just agreeing.
So she knows what a good point is.
Yeah.
And you love the blindfolds too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if you know where our base is, so putting on blindfolds.
Yeah,
we're going to kidnap the children.
Because you'll recognise the part of the ocean in the world that we're
Yeah. Yeah. Now they'll be able to tell because so the sun's position in the sky relative to everything else, they can do calculations and go, oh, obviously, this is where
that's
we are.
That's 100%
I don't want you
correct.
To guess what country we're in, even though we're all talking in American accents.
And yes. The thing is, they're actually on this little island base, literally in the middle of the ocean.
Ah. So
they've got this little in the Pacific island. Somewhere.
Yeah.
So oh, they are. Oh, okay, so they aren't actually in America then.
Yeah. No, I think
okay.
They're off the coast sort of thing.
Oh.
They're like literally in the middle of the ocean on a small island.
It could be the Caribbean. Too.
Of course.
Yeah.
But again,
tax write-off.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are billionaires
yeah.
after all. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like,
also,
America has, like, dozens of islands in the Pacific anyway, so it could still be America, just not America, America.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah that's
yeah.
the thing.
Not to mention it had very sexist bits where
yeah.
the old lady had to cook all the food up and all she wanted to do was have more visitors so she could cook more food.
Yeah.
No one wants to do that.
I did ask during the episode, the girl's name's
Tintin. Is it
Tintin? Hang on, what?
It's either Tintin or
just wait.
So what, all of the boys, all the Tracy boys have all
got
these like sturdy, strong Scott and Virgil and the girl's called Tintin?
Yeah.
And she's not allowed to fly the rocket ships or anything.
Yeah, no,
and her experience is like cooking and cleaning.
There is one episode where she flies around in her biplane and wants to fly in the Thunderbirds, but they don't let her. And so she goes off adventuring in her biplane or something along
oh,
those lines. And then
no.
there's rescuing, I think. But I don't remember
does.
That.
Because they've not given her the proper tools to be able to learn a trade. I bet all those blokes have been learning from a very young age how to fly their planes and do international rescue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the girls playing get taught to how to cook and clean, because they need cooking and cleaning, because I don't know, is it just a family business, where it's just like the five boys do the sciencey stuff, and the girls have to, you
she's
know...
She's not one of the family.
Oh, okay,
she's
I thought she was one of the daughters.
No, she's not, she's someone they've adopted.
She's adopted, she's an indentured servant.
She is.
Oh my god, they used to do that back in the day, where they'd adopt like an orphan to do their cooking and cleaning and their maid duties. That's what she is. She's an indentured servant.
With
oh my
that
god.
Knowledge it just makes the show worse.
Yeah.
There is actually no saving Thunderbirds on a moral standpoint.
Yes, yeah, it's still children. They still children, some children raise them, still tell the children and give them food and then say, if you do it again, we'll ignore you when you're trapped in the mine.
Do you think when they stole the children to teach them a lesson, they were actually going, nah, they're not girls. We can't put them to work. And that's why the kids ended up going back to their dad.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the dad paid the ransom, so they put them back on the plane and sent them back home again. Seriously, though, like, I mean, I joke about it when we were watching it, but don't those kids look like the munchkins from the Lollipop Guild?
Yeah, they look like they have no life in them at all, basically.
Yeah, Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, Uncanny Valley, yeah.
Tintin was played by Christine Finn from TV serial Quatermass and the Pit. Have you ever seen Quatermass? And
I've heard
Quatermass
of it.
And the Pit, it's kind of like the
I've heard
devil,
of it, but I've probably heard of it from you
the
guys.
The devil
yeah.
comes to London kind of thing. But it's like an ancient Martian devil.
She does participate in rescue missions, accompanying Virgil and Thunderbird too. And interspaced with Alan aboard Thunderbird 3.
Right, so
and
it does happen occasionally.
A half niece of the Hood, the Archdemon.
Oh, the Hood is the.
It's a half niece.
I can be a half niece of an individual person.
I have no idea how you can be a half niece.
Is he half niece, half nephew, or something silly like that?
I don't feel like that makes it any better.
No.
So pity missions, and she has to cook and clean. That's.
Mm.
My mum used to say some concerning things about that one that was stuck in the space station. Was that Thunderbird 3, did you say?
Nah, Thunderbird 5 is
yeah.
the space
it's
station.
Space, yes.
Yeah, lonely dude up there all by himself.
Yes,
he can't really do anything.
They supposedly rotate the staff up through the space station.
But do they, though?
No. Maybe
he's
just like,
Thunderbird 5's the one that no one likes and just stick him up in space.
Or maybe they just give them, like, space for weeks. Like, okay, if you need space for a week, we'll just leave in the space station so you can be alone and do whatever you need to do by yourself.
Feels like a demotion, it really does. You can stay up in the space station and monitor emergencies.
You're being put in the naughty corner.
Yeah, that's
a lot of toilet paper for that guy.
Yeah. Alternatively, when they're in space, there's no international law up there, so they can do illegal things.
That's true. He probably has an international blackjack station up there.
I was going to say drug manufacturing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
He's got a secret red light district.
That's
I'm
they,
sure that's probably
that's
what my mum was alluding
to. They just cannon down drugs to the below in exchange
Which,
for funding.
Which, I mean, isn't that...
It's how they fund expeditions.
Yeah, yeah.
It isn't that actually hard to believe because, you know, if two little piss-weak walkie-talkies can make it up to that international station, then quite clearly he can jettison cocaine down to all the people.
All they need is a little radio, a little pocket radio for kids, and that's it. They can buy drugs.
That's what actually happened.
That's when they gave him all their food. It was simply drugs.
He's getting really annoyed, not because they prank called him, but because they didn't want to partake in his drug ring.
Middle of outback Australia, and they're not even interested in drugs.
So did we mention our drug reference in that?
Give it an explicit rating.
Yes, this ran for two series. It's only two series.
Oh, but it's been rebooted and
Yeah, apparently why it stopped is because they tried to sell the third series to the US, and every time someone accepted the price, they raised the bid again. And they had three competing stations, and then one of them decided, nah, we're not buying. You keep on raising the price. And so all three pulled out. And so they decided, what we'll do is we'll create a whole new series that'll appeal to them. And it was called Captain Scarlet and the Mysterions, which we all know really well.
Now. Yeah. And the rest is history.
The rest is history. It just didn't happen. So then they went on to live action with UFO.
I saw an episode of that because somebody shared the intro sequence and it's the most cheesy
thing. Oh, I must show you an episode of UFO one day. It is hilarious.
It's so cringy.
All the female agents wearing revealing clothing and
mini skirts and things like that.
They've rebooted it a few times over the years, didn't they? Because I remember watching it in the 80s and it was a rebooted.
You're talking Thunderbirds.
Yeah, Thunderbirds.
So there was a movie in 2004.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking like back in the 80s. I don't think it was that.
I think they made a
movie. Unless the intro and the outro was different or something.
Yeah, I think they made a movie of this, but then there wasn't much else. And then there's a recent movie called Thunderbirds Are Go.
Yeah.
Which is
CGI, which is not missing the point.
Yeah, CGI, that's right.
That's it.
I think, it's cheesy when it's just a whole bunch of marionettes that
can't
move.
Did you say 95 to 97?
No.
You said 65. Yeah, that makes sense.
Best modern day version of Thunderbirds was Team America. seriously, I mean, they did a better job than any of the more recent movies or reboots or CGI versions, because they actually did the whole thing with the marionettes very much true to form. Yeah, they nailed it. But it's obviously not a version you can sit down and watch with your children.
Yeah.
I think, like, after seeing this, I don't know if you would agree with me, Angus, but I don't think this holds up.
Yeah.
I really don't think this holds up.
It's cheesy. I don't think I'd want anyone else to watch it just because it's...
Don't want anyone to watch it!
It's mine! All mine!
Stop, everyone! Don't watch it!
I mean, like, the plot's kind of okay, but it's not particularly exciting, except unless you want to watch cool toys be flying around in the air and stuff like that. I'm not sure there's anything that you'd miss.
That spaceship porn was really underwhelming. Yeah. I know you said, like, it's 60 special effects, so I mean, it's like little levers going up and rockets flying off and stuff. But you know what was awesome? Those scenes in the mine shaft.
I thought the mine shaft was amazing.
That was really good.
Yeah, they did some really cool, like,
and even
scenery.
Like the beams cracking and stuff like that. That was fantastic.
Yeah. The practical effects are
really quite impressive. Definitely agree. I don't think it's something that I would, like. I don't know about you, but if I had a kid, I would not make them watch Thunderbirds. I feel like the message isn't positive.
You're talking to the person who brought their child here tonight.
You also had three boys, which I feel like isn't so bad, but...
I show my boys so many different things. Some they hated and some they loved. It was an educational process. I wanted them to see all the previous things that I'd seen when I was a kid.
Gilligan's Island,
Hogan's Heroes, just all the things that, you know, you sort of hear about, you know, that they might hear about and not even realise exist.
I didn't know that, Justin.
No. Yeah. Gilligan's Island was name-dropped in
Galaxy Quest,
that's right.
Poor people.
Yeah, because I know about Galaxy Quest. I haven't seen an episode of it, though. Of course,
it's still usually on some... Like, you know, 3 o'clock on a Sunday somewhere.
Yeah.
And it would be an absolute travesty to watch, say, a DC movie without having first watched Batman 1966.
Yeah, because that's what I'm thinking watching Dark Knight.
Maybe that's me because that's the era I came from, maybe, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I if know. A Batman movie doesn't have kapow popping up in the screen in this large info flash.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree. I think that, like, some things are very time-related and belong there. If you're going to go back and look at them as an adult with your own opinion and you know what's right and what's wrong. Because, like, if you were going to show a kid this, from my own opinion at least, if I was going to show a kid this, I would want the child to be knowledgeable enough to go, that is sexist, that is racist, that shouldn't be the way it is. And take it as a joke as opposed to... Because kids are very impressionable.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's...
They're very impressionable.
It's a discussion you can have. Like, so we watched the live-action Dumbo movie last week, a couple of weeks ago. And then afterwards I said, oh, like, you know, we should watch the original cartoon and compare it, which is also on Disney+. But at the beginning of the movie, it actually has a disclaimer saying this is a product of its time.
Yeah.
It has themes. Yeah. It has behaviours which... were wrong then and are wrong now, but we're keeping it in there, and this is an opportunity for you to have a discussion with your child.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, and That's good. We had a discussion, and I actually spoke to her about it, and then it was like, I'd like you to, when you see it and you think that there's certain things that don't seem right, tell me and let's discuss them. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, things like Snow White and Cinderella, right, they're very products of their time. It's very, like, poor little woman sort of thing. And, like, that would be good to see as a kid, but at the same time, like, I'd prefer to, like, show someone when they're a bit older and they can gauge.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of Disney stuff doesn't really hold up. It's basically girls are weak and they need the prince to come and save them. And I feel like that's a really poor sort of message. And coming back around now, I feel like the message in Thunderbirds is very poor.
Yeah.
I don't think it would
be definitely a product of its time.
And also, a villain. I even know, firstly, why he was a villain, apart from the fact that the vaguely Asian setting of his hideout.
Oh, yeah.
Apart from him being, yes, I'm the evil character and I'm evil because foreign. Doesn't it feel like he had any motivation or reason why he would do horrible things? Or...
No, he was just a big bad.
He was stealing pictures, but I don't know what the pictures were for.
And why he was stealing pictures. Yeah, and what benefit he got from seeing the pictures.
No, he was just a bad guy. Yeah. Yeah. That was it.
There was nothing more than that.
His purpose is to be evil and to be Asian. You can't have goodies without the
baddies. Yes, he was the Manchu.
Yeah, but you could do it so much better. Mm. This is something that has been touched on quite often, is it's like racism is not a bad guy. It is a very lazy version. Give your bad people more to them. Flesh them out more. Like the Ferengi in TNG.
Different races.
But like Ferengis in TNG, they just want money and they're bad people. But then they go into it apparently in DS9 and give them a full culture and reasoning behind why they're dicks.
And so it's not that they're bad. It's just that's their culture. You know, it has a different way of doing things to what ours is, and they're just not compatible cultures.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's probably a more valuable lesson than, oh, my God, he's Asian, he's stealing blueprints or pictures or whatever from an archaeological dig.
Yeah.
But like, I learned nothing from that.
But this is like Cold War era stuff too, so it was all secret squirrel spy stuff.
Yeah.
Then why wasn't he Russian?
I think he's just the bad guy in all the episodes.
No, but if it was Cold War era, then why wasn't he Russian?
Because it was very
America versus Russia for most of the Cold War.
And it wouldn't be as much racist connotations there. I'm not saying no racist connotations, but if you're having Russia with the enemy, it's not as the same level as appearing suddenly a guy who's bald in a decoration
Chinese
of Chinese
emperor's robe sort of thing.
Yeah, as though it's designed by somebody who's never been to Asia, but it said, okay, make an Asian thing. Because again, like, I didn't even know the character's name, let alone and motivation.
And I don't think they did either. International Rescue never quite knew who it was that.
No, they generally were just like a step behind the villains, and I don't know if they ever actually sat down and had a chat with them or anything.
There
was any explanation of motivation behind it.
I'm just thinking in the context of the episode, they didn't even make contact with him at all. So they didn't even know it was him.
No. They chased him and he was wearing the mask, and then we went over the lifting, and they went, oh, yeah, he's dead now. Okay, bye. Yeah.
But they also seemed to know who he was, regardless of the fact that they'd never saw him.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a bit...
yeah.
But anyway, you know, that's a continuity problem.
And also, if it's an evil organisation, whatever, why can't they just send a lackey and not have this guy who can disguise himself as things and hit type people? Why don't you just send some
he's
random person?
Clearly not evil, like, in that sort of situation. You're right, you would have the henchman go out and do the bidding and fail, and then the guy go, my evil plans were thwart. But yeah.
Except then they couldn't have the glowing eyes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
what
they
are
could.
You thinking, Gypsy?
Maybe they could make it as like a trait that he can put into other people or something like that. There was so much they could do with it, and they just kind of went, "We're American. We can't think any further than this."
It wasn't American.
It was
English.
Oh, it was English.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes even more sense, actually.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing like a documentary or something, and they hired a lot of the voice actors. They hired were mainly Australian and Canadian because they could do the American accents better than the English could.
So who did they get to do the Australian accents?
I know, right? I know.
Like, Father was
an Australian actor, Ray Barrett. He did a lot of the voices in Thunderbirds.
Oh, so Ray
Barrett.
Did
he do the Australian accents
Barrett
too?
Okay, so Ray Barrett was well known as an Australian actor in London. Clearly, he's been made to put on an accent. That was a common thing. I mean, Doctor Who, all the people, even if they were Australian, were told, no, you've got to put on this accent.
And it's the same still even today in America. Like, Australians who have to play Australians, they don't just play Australians. They gotta be, you know,
Australian accents. I remember watching this TikTok person going, I went to do a voice acting role for an Asian role, and I did the entire role in my accent. And they're like, okay, could you actually do it in, like, with a Japanese accent? And they're like, I'm Japanese. This is my accent. This is what our accents are.
Yeah.
And then they just went over the top, and the person gave them the role.
Yes.
Yeah.
How racist.
There's a show that I think it's Aziz Ansari did after Parks and Rec called Master of None, and there's a whole episode around the whole Asian stereotypes in, like, America and in TV and film, and it was, like, some of them would refuse to do ones in, like, doing the Indian accent, and some would go, like, I'm refusing to play taxi drivers and pizza delivery guys and Uber drivers and stuff. And some of them are just like, I'm just going to get whatever I can get. And if that means I have to put on a ridiculous accent, then I will do it just so I can get a paycheck.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting episode. That whole first season's brilliant with the different episodes and different themes that they do. And that one is really thought-provoking. Because most of these people who do these accents on the show, it's like you said, like, someone putting on a Japanese accent even though they already had a Japanese accent.
Yeah.
And then that just perpetuates a stereotype that all people from that country talk with that accent. And a lot of the times, even in Australia, like, there's that sometimes there's a stigma. It's like, well, if someone is Asian, then therefore they must have an Asian accent, when their family could have come over during the gold rush and they're more Australian than like anyone else.
Well, that's the thing. I grew up with a bloke called Andrew. Can't remember what country he was supposed to be from. I think it was Chinese, but he came from Melbourne.
Yeah.
And he talked in a more Australian accent than I did, and he was just really chill. And I could never, as a kid, wrap my head around it because it just made no sense to me.
Yeah,
because all the media you'd seen portrayed people with that heritage.
Exactly.
And speaking in the crazy accent.
Really adopt the accent very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, so there were two movies released, Thunderbirds I Go and Thunderbirds, I think it was 2068. Then there's the Thunderbirds 2004 film, followed by a TV series.
I think
in 2015.
I think I saw the 1968 movie. I think it was another one of those stories where my parents taped and said, "You'd really like this," and it had that big bad guy.
Yeah.
That was the bad guy in it, and it was pretty much like a two-hour version of what we just saw. Yeah. You know,
and there was a comedy series. A Japanese anime series, Techno Voyager or Kagaku, I can't. Techno Voyager.
What year is that?
Scientific.
I swear, I saw an 80s version of Thunderbirds, and this is bugging
Alex,
me.
I'm pronouncing it.
Kagaku Jotai Techno Voyager.
Okay.
Hey, there you go. Look at this. A 1982 Japanese anime series dubbed for and exported to Anglophone countries as Thunderbirds 2086. That's probably the one I grew up watching. Oh, it was a Japanese anime series and it wasn't actually Thunderbirds at all.
There you go. So generally not quite fully recommended for modern audiences, but it has cheesy value.
Recommended for mature aged audiences, not for younger. I think
retrophiles.
Yeah.
I think some of the effects and the whole look at the ships goes is cool. I just don't think it's necessarily. It feels like the plot was just an excuse to show the ships.
Because
not much depth to the plot, especially the kid actors.
I mean, technically, it was an amazing show. Like, it was actually a really cool bit of kid that they showed off. But
yeah. It also reminds me, because it reminded me of Danger 5, because they have a similar sort of practical effects budget with the stuff they have on there as well.
And that's got a real kind of campiness to it as well, like that real melodramatic type of, you know.
Yeah, this is almost as cheesy enough to get away with being camp, but at the same time, it doesn't have as much substance there for, to get away with being, you get away with actually having that sort of a plot line.
You can understand why there are so many parodies of this. It's so easy to take.
So, Kenzie, what did you think of Thunderbirds?
It was good.
Yeah? Would you watch it again?
Yeah.
Are you saying yes because Gypsy's threatening to give you a cookie, or are you saying yes because you actually liked it?
I actually liked it.
Huh?
What did you like about it? What bits did you like?
You can do it.
I liked when they saved the little boy and saved the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm.
Cool. Did you like how it looked?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Gypsy. Did you think it went for a bit too long?
No.
Oh, that's actually decent.
Yeah.
You like the strings. You kept pointing out the marionette strings, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's the first time I've seen the strings, because this is a 1080p version. Of course, on TV, you never saw the strings.
No.
Well, you did occasionally.
Yeah.
I remember seeing
really
the strings.
Really occasionally. Yeah. I've got old versions that we recorded off MPEG format that we recorded
onto VHS.
Onto VHS.
And
then
converted.
Don't see the strings on those.
Don't see the strings on those.
Yeah.
So what food is this, Angus?
Yeah.
Oh, cracky my review. Okay. Well,
a mouthful of ball bearings for a start.
I really enjoy the show. I definitely agree that some of the elements of story writing and some of the characters and how they've portrayed certain elements is definitely dodgy. But visually, I still quite like it. I think it's a cool show. I'd probably still watch it. I might turn the volume a bit further down sort of thing and be doing something else at the same time.
No, you've got to play the start really loud.
Oh, yeah, the start you've got to play
loud.
You've
got to play the music really loud.
Honestly, taking all of that into account, I'd probably give it about a 4 out of 7. So just above 50%, but yeah.
So what food is it? Marshmallows? Toasted marshmallows with banana?
I'm going to say, because it's still December when we're recording this, it's got to be a gingerbread house. It looks really, really nice, but when you start eating it, you're going, this icing glue stuff's not the best. I probably shouldn't be eating it, but it needs to be.
Yeah, a bit sickly sweet.
Yeah. I'd say a gingerbread house.
It looks pretty, but you wouldn't actually sit down and eat it with your dinner.
Yeah.
Was at least 1999 a Gerry Anderson?
Yes.
That was a Gerry Anderson. Gerry
and Sylvia.
Yeah, Gerry and Sylvia.
Yeah.
Someone's been watching too much Thunderbirds.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Yeah, so Space 1999 is another one of those. It was slightly better than UFO, but still.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. UFO's amazing. Wasn't UFO where Benedict Cumberbatch? His mother was in one of them.
Oh,
and
yes.
I remember watching some interview or other. Because the costumes were so over the top and, mini skirts, tight, form-fitting dresses.
Yeah, she was in UFO.
Yeah. I remember watching an interview where Benedict Cumberbatch is asked the question, so was it difficult growing up with everyone constantly saying, wow, your mother's really, really attractive? And stuff like that.
Yeah. Jesus, what kind of question's that?
Yeah. I think it was a joke question.
Ben,
from
your mum's hot. Yeah. What do you think about that?
And a lot of folks at home.
I think it was like Craig Ferguson or something like that.
Craig Ferguson.
Constantly pulling jokes and being a bit of a git to everyone.
Yeah, he'd just do that to get a rise out of someone. Yeah.
I think I remember seeing an interview with him talking to Capaldi.
Him and Capaldi used to be in a band together before they got famous.
Together.
Yeah,
so
they were in a punk
band. Sitting in this thing going, congratulations on playing the new Doctor. Man, it only feels like yesterday when we were sitting in our garage doing acid together.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, can I say that because you're the new Doctor Who, so going all out.
Oh, Craig Ferguson's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that show used to be so great.
Okay, so that was classic cult TV club, watching the Thunderbirds. So good night, Gypsy.
Okay, bye.
Good night, Angus.
Good night.
Good night, Lisa. Oh, good night, Mackenzie.
And bye.
And good night, Alex.
Good night.
And goodbye, Jeanette.
Goodbye for now.
Bye.
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 Thunderbirds, I go. We'll be right back.